It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop that also does small engine repair. 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company. Mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, we are living that dream and taking you with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. In the seat to my right, he's back. The Chewbacca to my Han Solo. The Paunch to my John.
Oh.
The great sports writer from the Free Press, our good friend Austin Danforth. Good morning, my man.
Morning, Jeff. I wish I had a better Chewbacca impression. That's like a glaring hole in my resume.
We got time. You can work on that.
Okay.
He was always my favorite Star Wars character anyway.
Chewie?
Oh, yeah, I love
Chewie. Yeah. Chewie's great.
When I was a kid, I'd run around, I'd paint my nose black and run around because I wanted to be just like Chewbacca. I'd get like the vampire, you know, fangs in, and I love Chewie.
That's the one Star Wars movie I want, is like the Chewbacca movie. And we've gotten bits and pieces of his backstory, but like, you don't even need subtitles. It's everybody always just plays off
the
thing. Anyway.
And there wouldn't be anybody. It used to be all day. There wouldn't be anybody talking anyway. Just be noises. You don't know what they're talking about.
I'm all in.
Yeah,
They did scenes on his homeworld in the prequel, and they were some of the coolest scenes from
Kashyyyk,
the prequels.
Oh, Kashyyyk. Yeah. Oh, I know all about Kashyyyk.
Woo. I'm a little off the Star Wars piece, though. I think that we've had too many of them, be honest with you. I mean, there we got stories on Han Solo, but I have seen the preview for the one, I think the last one that's coming up around Christmas. That should be pretty epic.
That's going to be fantastic. I agree. I think there was a long time where it was like, geez, there's only three Star Wars for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And then we got three that weren't that great. And then they've just kept tacking them on. And it's a little diminishing returns.
You know what I don't get about the Star Wars movie? The one that we had when Han Solo and Chewbacca came back in it when they were older. The one that Han Solo passed away in.
Yeah. Oops, spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, it's been out for 10 years, whatever. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's my bad. But anyway, that
Force Awakens.
Yeah, like what happened? What bad for business with the rebellion? The last one we saw was Revenge of the Jedi, and they took out Darth Vader, and it looked like the world was everything. The galaxy was saved. Everything was fine. We fast forward to the last one, and the Millennium Falcon's is in a used car lot.
Yeah,
you know, Han Solo's hiding around somewhere. Like, where's Luke Skywalker? He's somewhere. Like, what the hell happened?
No, it wasn't exactly salad days. They didn't really have a good succession plan in place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously business was bad after that was done. Yeah. Maybe the Empire was all right.
A little thing called a power vacuum.
You might be right. Maybe there was. You know, we just didn't know who the leadership was. Yeah. Right, Han Solo wanted it. Luke Skywalker wanted it. Princess Leia. I mean, we just didn't know.
Empire, now you're trying to do something different.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Anyway, how did we get on that topic? But listen, we got plenty to talk about today. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 802-655-6672. We have a great show lineup today. First hour, we got great guests. First, at 10:20, we're going to talk with Richard Justice. Richard Justice works with MLB.com. He's a legendary baseball writer. If you watch the Baseball Network, he's on it all the time. Yeah. We're going to talk some baseball with him. Some cool things happening in baseball. I know the Red Sox aren't playing where I think Red Sox fans want them to be. But I'll tell you right now, a really neat story, and you're probably gonna roll your eyes when I say it, is what's going on with the Yankees. I mean, if you look at what the Yankees are doing right now, and we're gonna get to the NFL draft because I got a lot to talk about today on that. But I want to get this out.
I bet you do.
I have something to say. But if you look at the Yankees right now, if you look at that lineup and what they're doing, that is literally their Scranton Wilkes-Barre lineup. And they've won 8 out of 9 games or 8 out of 10 games. They've been on the West Coast with 3 out of 4 at Anaheim and won a big game last night against San Francisco. I mean, it really is kind of a fun story to watch these baby bombers who in about a month, they're all going to be gone. But you're watching these young kids that they've just put in place, and they've played great baseball.
That's awesome. No, that I'm glad I didn't roll my eyes prematurely because that,
I mean,
that,
like, inside that is, you rolled your eyes. Trust well, me. Our listeners rolled their eyes.
Fun,
I promise.
Fun
you that.
Little story. Yeah. New York Yankees aren't in the same sentence often, so I felt like there was going to be a stretch. But yeah. I totally agree.
And we'll talk to Richard about that. And then we're going to talk with our buddy Tom King, Patriot Insider, the Patriots, with their draft picks, some interesting picks for the Pats. We'll get his perspective as well as the whole NFL perspective with the NFL. And we'll get it. We're going to get NBA playoffs. We got the NHL playoffs. We'll talk some more NFL draft. But let's start right now with the 550-pound gorilla in the room, which is the New York Football Giants. And I have never in my life...
The floor is yours.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, listen. Anyone that listens to the show for the last 4 years knows that I am not a Giants... I'm a Giants fan. I'm going to put that right out there. I get it. I'm a Giants fan. But I am far from a Giants apologist. Agreed, Aaron? Agreed that I am not a Giants apologist?
Yes, I would say you and Bernie both as New York Giants fans were like a little pretty hard on the team when there was things going on.
I mean, Bernie's more of a Giants apologist than I am. I mean, let's face the facts.
About Eli.
He's an Eli Manning apologist. Eli can't do wrong with Bernie. Come on now. You've not been paying attention?
I think I got you guys switched up. You're not the Eli apologist?
Obviously, you don't pay attention anymore. Okay, so I'm not asking you more questions.
It's been a while since he's been around.
Good point. No, but long story short, I'm not a Giants apologist. And that's one thing that I will say. If I think they've made a mistake, I will tell them. And I think they've made a lot of mistakes over the last 5 or 6 years. But I have never seen a collective fan base lose it over what the Giants did in the first round. Lose it. Literally lose it. Like my good buddy and your good buddy, Alex Abrahami. I love. And Alex Abrahami to me is one of the most soft-spoken guys, one of the greatest sports writers that Vermont's ever seen. I love what he does. But you talk about a Giant fan that had an absolute meltdown on Twitter was my boy Alex Abrahami. Like I even wrote him back saying, like, man, take a shower, will you please? Like, calm down. Like, you're all right. Like, let's calm down here. But the collective fan base losing it over the decisions that this organization made in the first round of this draft. Number two, the collective meltdown and almost mockery, if that's a word. Is mockery a word? I don't even know if it's a word. If it isn't,
is a word.
It's my word.
Yeah.
Of this giant football organization by every media member and all these quote-unquote experts that we see on television. I mean, we have a real dilemma here in the media world. And I'm not going to go into the news world of it, but we have a real dilemma in the sports world. We don't have anybody that can just come out and say, hey, man, you know, this is what happened. Everyone's got to have an opinion. And it's almost as if we have a civilization that's like zombies that listens. If Stephen A. Smith says it's a great pick, it's a great pick. If Todd McShay comes on and says it's what a perfect pick, if he says it's a bad pick, you melt down. What I don't get is the Giant fans don't remember this for whatever reason. For the last, since the Giants won the Super Bowl, was it 2011, 2012 against the Patriots, whatever year it was, they have been an absolute dumpster fire of an organization since then. A dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Okay, and we had a GM in Reese who, you know, I don't know how much you give their former general manager, Jerry Reese, how much credit you give him for the championships, because obviously they were two spectacular champions. The first one where they beat the Patriots when they were undefeated, the unbelievable Tyree catch, some crazy things happened there. Right, Austin? You know, now Austin's rolling his eyes. Unbelievable, that situation for the Giants, and come back and beat the Patriots again. I mean, what are you going to do? It's good stuff that back then. But what he did from that point on with the players he selected, it's been a dumpster fire. Bring in Gettleman, the new GM, who has gotten smacked around by the media and by the fans for what he's been able to do. Before we freak out on these guys, can we disagree? Let him try and see what happens before we freak out here.
You know who else got to try with the team?
Who?
Matt Millen.
But Matt, this is a completely... you can't compare that yet, though. You can't compare that yet. How can
year
you compare
two becomes
that yet?
Year six, and then like, oh, wow, we're really still not good.
But
like,
hold on a minute. How do we know they're not going to be good yet? Last year, going into last season, was his first year. Came in, whatever, you know, you have the cards on the table that you have. They're not his guys. He made some small decisions. I know they signed Odell Beckham Jr.
Weren't they like 1-8?
They were had a horrible year last year.
And then
they
rallied late and like...
But last year,
have like a semi-respectable record.
Sure, but the point of it is, it doesn't matter what they did last year. What matters is what happens now, and the decisions that they made on this draft to draft this kid out of Duke is we're not going to know if it's good or bad for another 2-3 years. And who's to say that it's not going to be perfect? Who's to say this kid isn't going to be the next great quarterback? Who's to say that this isn't the right move for them?
Statistics.
But how many statistics were out on Ryan Leaf? How many statistics were out on RG3? How many statistics were out on Tom Brady?
RG3 looked good.
Okay, thank you.
And the thing that you like a guy who isn't an accurate thrower in college doesn't become an accurate thrower in the NFL. And the kid from Duke wasn't wasn't spectacular, let alone reasonably accurate in college.
But you're talking about a team, a guy. Well, I would disagree with you that I think some of the line is that he can make all the throws. He's mobile, he's big, and he's brilliant.
Against Quinnipiac.
Fair enough. But also surrounded with talent with not a lot of great talent. I mean, I guess what I'm saying to you is let's just pump the brakes on saying this is a bad draft. Like, we have, nobody has any clue what any of these kids are going to be. Any of them. Whether it's Kyler Murray, who went number one to an organization in Arizona that had in the last 2 years, just picked two quarterbacks. You know, you don't know if Kyler Murray is going to work. Nobody knows. So before we start freaking out on Gettleman, can we at least wait and see? It's almost like when you're a young kid and you're mad at your parents because your parents aren't letting you do something, even though they have your best interest at hand. Hey, Giants fans, I promise you the Gettleman and that organization has your best interest at hand, and they think they're building an organization the way it needs to be built. And if he's the right guy, say in 2 years, or maybe a year or 3 years, whatever it is, he's the guy leading them to an NFC championship or an unbelievable Super Bowl, you're going to have egg on your face. I remember the 7th pick back when Phil Simms was drafted. I mean, nobody liked Phil Simms. Everyone freaked. I mean, I was way a little too young for that, but I've seen the videos of people. I mean, nobody knows. And my point is to go after these guys like they know is just lazy to me. Like, you may not like it because nobody's talked about this kid, but the reality is there's rumors out there, and Aaron and I were talking about before the show, that it looked like Washington was going to try to draft him. So if this is your guy.
Giants got duped by Washington.
Or they didn't. But if this is your guy, you go get him. If this is the guy you want, if Daniel Jones is the guy that you want, and whether they got duped or not, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to say that the Washington Redskins organization, which has been another dumpster fire for more than 10 years, 15 since they won in the 80s.
The smoke signals they put off scared you guys into overreaching for Daniel Jones at the sixth pick.
If the Giants deemed that this was the guy that they needed to have, this is the quarterback they wanted for the future, they were sold this was the guy, then fine. But if that's your guy, you go get him. And if that's what they deem it is. But can't we just wait, Austin, until we know if he's a bust or not? Can't we wait?
Not when your team is a walking punchline currently.
But it's only a walking punchline because the people that create the punchlines decide it's a punchline. What are they going to say in 3 years if this kid's leading them to an NFC East championship? What are they going to say if he ends up going to Super Bowl? Then what? Then what? But that's the problem. You're going to say, well, then you were right, Jeff, or whoever's right. There's no reprecation for these guys, if that's even a word. These guys just say whatever they want, and if you don't pay attention to the real overview of what the Giants have done in their homework, and you look at what Gettleman's done with this organization, I'm all in with Dave Gettleman. I am. Until I'm proven otherwise, I'm all in with the decisions he's made for this organization.
What do you got, Aaron?
I'm not all in with Gettleman in terms of his overall philosophy, but looking at this draft and how deep it is at the defensive line positions and how that's been the other primary focus for the Giants, they've gotten guys, and Daniel Jones is the guy they wanted at quarterback,
right?
And they didn't want to let him go to someone else, and he's got no pressure on him right now because everyone has been jawing off about how he's not going to be good. So if he's not good, then that's what everyone thought.
I mean, I would say right now there's
and you've got Eli Manning still, so he's got time technically. They can sit there and let Eli burn a couple more seasons if they have to.
So yes,
and he'll develop during that time.
Can I offer some points here?
Go ahead.
Okay. Everything you're saying is great in a vacuum. When you have context and, you know, other forces at play, that's not the case. There needs to be some objective, you know, or even somewhat objective, somewhat subjective, somewhere between the two, taking stock of what's happened. When your boy Gettleman comes out afterwards and says it, this is a something I heard on Dan Patrick. I thought it was brilliant when I heard Dan Patrick say it.
Yeah.
When your GM comes out and says, well, it might be an Aaron Rodgers type situation, that means one, you didn't necessarily plan for it to be. Two, it might not be. It might just be a huge failure. Or three, you might get lucky and that's the case.
Or four, it's semantics. Or four, it's the way he worded it and this is what we do. We take everybody's word. You know,
it doesn't sound like a guy that had a bold, like a very clear vision for the guy that he wanted.
I would just disagree with you. I think that's a complete, I didn't see that quote and be said, he said, I look at things, if you take this kid at number six, you believe in this kid's going to be your guy. You just believe it. No, I mean, there's no sure bets in this league. We know that. We have no idea what any of these guys are. I mean, we don't know anything. We don't know if Darnold in New York is going to be. Was Brady a sure thing? I mean, there's
sure thing. No, but I'd watched him in college and I liked him.
Well, sure, but fair enough. But at the end of the day, we have to wait and see how this works out. And again, when somebody comes out and says, "Yeah, it could be an Aaron Rodgers type situation." Okay, well, I mean, well, he said it could be like. I mean, so these guys, semantics are semantics. Words are words. I think he made a decision. I think this is a guy they wanted. I think they've done their homework on him. And it may not work. Maybe it's going to, and if he's a bust, I'll stand right next to you and say, Gettleman made a huge mistake. How could they hire him? The Giants have put themselves back. But to go out there and say the New York Giants are now the Cleveland Browns of the NFL. And SNY out of New York, the guys that covered the Jets in New York, were blatantly, they had them on TV, like blatantly laughing at the New York Giant organization. I tell you right now, I hope that the Giants hit a home run with this, not because I'm a fan, but because I'm sick of this ridiculous elitism of this media and these guys that think they know everything. It drives me bananas.
I think we have more we could talk about this later in the show.
It drives me bananas. Seriously, Austin Danforth, it drives me batty. Like, we don't have to like the picks, but let's just wait and see what he does and let Gettleman build this team and see what happens.
I love your optimism is bordering on, like, what, you know, nihilism. Like, nothing matters, so let's give it a chance.
But you have to give it a chance. Let him build the team. Like, I love what he did this offseason with Beckham, getting rid of him. I love the trades he's made to bring in the offensive linemen. I love the safety they got from Cleveland for Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know. Nobody knows enough about, you don't know the future in the NFL. You just have no clue. That's why I know that we talk about this all the time. When you're a crummy team and you got a top pick, you can't really miss on that pick. Maybe they didn't miss.
You know who can see the future? Bill Belichick.
Well, but he's like, you know, he's a savant.
The one other thing I would say is that after Kyler Murray, people were kind of up in the air with this quarterback class. So at this point, we really don't know.
Like, but we have no clue.
It's not a year where there's like two guys who are sure and then everyone else is a question mark. It was Kyler Murray and then everyone else.
I agree. And Kyler Murray has question marks.
But like, when you look at when you're looking at just the quarterbacks, to look at what Daniel Jones has done and think that's the franchise builder. Like, that's the crazy thing. You look at the body of work for all the quarterbacks and then you pick out Daniel Jones and, you know, it's like, oh, I don't see what you're seeing there. Like, that's the thing.
I mean, time will tell. I get where you're coming from with that. I understand that. And fair enough. But I trust what Gettleman's doing. I trust his football IQ. I trust the coaching staff's IQ, and we'll see what happens.
I can't wait to get back to this.
We'll be right back.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I mean, you and I may not agree on what's going on with the New York Giants, but we can both agree that Green City Garage is a place to bring your car if you've got a problem. 802-651-9299. Go see my buddy Chris Wallace at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, Vermont. The best place to bring your car. I say it every single week. Like, I am a car illiterate when it comes to automobiles, okay? I mean, I don't know. So there's been times in automobiles I'm not sure how to turn the heat on. You know, I've actually put antifreeze in the windshield wiper.
Wow.
Stuff. I've done all that.
Okay, does that streak on the windshield pretty bad?
It doesn't work too good.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've done that before. So, I mean, that's the kind of car guy I am, but Chris Wallace has the patience, the time. It's the best. I'm just telling you, if you have a car issue, go see my buddy Chris Wallace today at Green City Garage, 802-651-9299, 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5, South Burlington. And they also are the sponsor of our Pulse question, the Green City Garage poll question, where you can go to 1013 The Game on Twitter. And the question today is, did the Giants make a mistake drafting Daniel Jones with the 6th overall pick? Yes or no? That's the question. Go there now. And as we were leaving, our conversation was talking a little bit about, you know, what's happened here with the Giants. And I just disagree with, I don't know if I disagree with you per se in terms of what you're saying and what you've seen, but I trust Gettleman and what he's trying to do with this organization. And I've looked at this Giant team from a front row seat. I'm a huge fan. Like, I follow my teams very closely.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know what they've really been. And they've been, and they, the decisions that they've made in the draft the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, before he got on board, have been poor. I mean, we talk about Eric Flowers and Justin Pugh and even Odell Beckham Jr. and Reuben Randall. I mean, I can go down the list of players. They're supposed to be sure hits. Oh, the Giants got a steal here. And they're busts. And now we have what I deem as an adult. A man that knows the game of football. He's built organizations like he did in Carolina. He was a part of the Giant organization early into the 2000s when they built the team that had Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan. And, you know, I don't think he was a part of the Michael Strahan draft. That was a while ago. But the Justin Tuck, the OCU Mignores, Eli's early years, you know, bringing in Plaxico, Steve Smith, which was a great draft pick by the Giants at USC, and then back in the early mid 2000s when they won their first Super Bowl under that regime with Eli Manning. I trust him. And I love looking at what he's done with an organization that was going the wrong way. I love that he's got enough gusto to say, I'm going to trade Odell Beckham Jr. because he's not good for the team.
Yeah, and I love that.
And so my point is, let's see how this plays out. See, if you think that's cool, and I love what they got for him. I love the trading of Vernon to get the offensive lineman from Cleveland, who's one of the best offensive linemen on paper in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that they got the 17th pick on top of getting Peppers, the great safety for Cleveland. They got younger and more athletic. I love the fact that he's not afraid to say, you know what, we do like you, Collins, Landon Collins, and you're a good guy and you're a good locker room guy, but we think that your best days are by you, and not being afraid to let him go. I like the fact that he's not afraid to look at Odell Beckham Jr., maybe the most elite wide receiver in the game today, the most electric, the guy that puts people in the seats to watch him play and say, you know what, you're not going to help us win. We're not winning with you. You're a distraction. You're a problem. And we're going to move on. But that's why I trust him.
And you get, though, where everybody else is coming from. Your team hasn't been good. They've made blunder after blunder. You get what you got for Odell doesn't quite add up for what Odell brought on the field.
Well, what did Odell Beckham Jr. bring on the field?
I didn't mean to overstep there, but you just said it yourself that he's maybe the most electric playmaker in the league.
Sure.
That right there. But
electric playmaker. So it's you know what it's funny with Odell Beckham Jr.? It's three steps forward and then four steps back. Big time touchdown pass, and he goes and pretends he's a dog in the end zone, and then it's a 15-yard penalty, and then next thing you know, you're giving the team the ball. I mean, he was a problem. And again, I don't whether you think he's a problem or whether he's electric, fun guy to watch. I mean, how can you not like watching him? He's not afraid to, he's building the organization. I love bringing in Golden Tate, a real pro, to bring in.
I like that,
He's building it the way he was hired to build this organization and bring it back to where the Giants are, where Giant fans and I think the world expects the Giants to be.
But
I think you got to let it happen.
You're asking for the benefit of the doubt when the last 7 years, as you just said,
he hasn't been the head of the front office the last 7 years. He's only been there for a year.
It's not the first time.
It is the first time. He's starting to get his guys.
There have been other people in the front office that got the benefit of the doubt and burned themselves.
Sure, totally agree. So I'm willing, but what I was saying is at least give them a chance to, at least let this not work. Like, we don't give this guy the benefit of the doubt to say, let's see where it goes. We're not talking about Dave Gettleman was just hired by the New England Patriots and they've won a zillion championships. And now Dave Gettleman's saying, you know what? I'm getting rid of X, Y, and Z. I'm going to draft this guy and this guy. We're going to rebuild this organization. This Giant organization needed to be rebuilt from the bottom up. They needed a new coach. They needed a new coaching staff. They needed a new GM. And that's what they have now. Why can't we give this guy the benefit of the doubt and see where it goes? You want to laugh at him? Go ahead and laugh at him. I just don't get it.
Because you're an outlier. The team is, you're asking for the benefit of the doubt for the team that hasn't earned it. And not only that, you're asking for the benefit of the doubt for a number six pick that literally your GM and front office were the only people in the world that thought he was worth a top 10 pick.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation, or text us in the Town Fair Tire text line, 655-6672. Aaron, did you want to add something to this?
My mic wasn't on. You
wanted to turn on your mic.
I also think a lot of people would tell you that the end of his stint in Carolina was as much a dumpster fire as anything else. I mean, he was known for, one of the things he was known for at Carolina was alienating stars. Steve Smith didn't like him. Josh Norman didn't like him.
Wow, two guys. Okay, so two of the most polarizing personalities in the game. And
Steve
I understand.
Smith's one of the greatest wide receivers that's ever lived.
So, and Odell Beckham Jr. might be too. I mean, seriously, what I'm saying, like, you... We're not, and maybe you're going to be right at the end of the day. I mean, maybe in 2-3 years from now,
you have to live for is like with the Giants is that maybe it won't be that way.
But to me, I look at it, I'm like, I like the fact that he's restructuring what they're doing with personnel. Like, that's what I like. See, what I'm looking, that's what needs to happen if you're going to take a team that's been a perennial I use the word, and I use it a lot, dumpster fire for the last 5 or 6 years. In order to fix that, I mean, the Giants just could have kept putting Band-Aids on things. Even last year, I know what he did with Odell. He's like, you know what? We're going to pay the guy. And maybe this will turn him into the guy we need him to be. This is going to be the leader we need.
Yeah.
He learned from me. I'm not doing that. Obviously, it's not going to work. We need to let him go. And I like that. And all I'm saying to you is, like, you keep saying to me, like, you know, all you have to hang your hat on is you know, is the fact that they've been bad, and you're going to give them, they do deserve the benefit of the doubt. He deserves it because he's only been there for a year.
I admire you spinning this as positively as possible.
You have to if you're a Giant fan.
Otherwise, you're Alex Abrami.
That's what I mean.
Saying, New Jersey, you can have them.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I just don't understand why you can't just let it happen. Like, they have been a terrible organization personnel-wise and embarrassing. For the last since the championship, even the year after they won the Super Bowl, they were embarrassing. And then the year they win 10 games and they go to the playoffs, the wide receivers are on a boat in Miami, not getting ready for the game. They get blown out in Green Bay. I'm saying you've got to give this organization and this guy a chance to make this right. And if it doesn't work in 2 years, 3 years, if next year's team is absolutely horrible, I think you got to give him a couple years to get this right. And in the NFL, we do know this. You can be terrible 1 year and then great the next. I mean, we know that. And I don't think you're that far away. And when you're talking about the Giants, I mean, and anybody, that you can't be great pretty soon. I love what he's doing. Let's see. I guess my point is, you can say to me, and you can say to me, look, his track record, I don't like the way he treated Josh Norman. I don't like the way he treated Steve Smith. And at the end, you know, he alienated these guys with Carolina. You can tell me that, you know, the Giants, you know, this doesn't look good. Like, how can you look at this Daniel Jones kid and think that he's going to be the future of your franchise? You might all be right. But at the end of the day, can we at least give it a chance to happen? Like, you're not even giving this a chance to happen. That's the problem. And the media is neither. They're mocking. The things that they're saying is like, can somebody come out and just say, hey, let's just see how it works out. This is who they draft. Let's see. I don't get that.
Jeff.
Yes.
I am more with you than not, especially on the personnel part.
Yeah.
My problem with Gettleman is more his overall philosophy. Mm-hmm. I think what he wants to do with the offense is going to potentially hurt Saquon's career and potentially hurt the offensive production of that team for the next few years. But I really like that he's not doing what the Giants have done in the past, which is drafting offensive linemen over and over again, even though they haven't been hitting on them. He worked never hitting. They had so many bad picks at offensive line.
Yes.
They drafted defensive guys this year. They drafted a young quarterback who they're going to give time.
Yep.
He's got potential.
Yep.
I do really like that stuff.
Yep.
I just feel like you're going to take a guy like Saquon, who's a dynamic playmaker, and you're going to do to him what they did to Todd Gurley on the Rams last year, which is burn him out by the end of the season if you're not careful.
You very well might be right. But if you put a really good offensive line, and Todd Gurley got hurt, and that's fair enough, but Todd Gurley didn't get hurt the year before and had a huge year. I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day here, I'm going to see what he does. And I don't know if you can necessarily burn Saquon Barkley out. I mean, these guys, we talk like we have any clue about, you're talking about a brilliant offensive head mind in Shermer. You know, you look at the Giant deep coaching staff is a good coaching staff. Let's just see how it plays out. I mean, the Giants aren't going to hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley 70 times a game. But that's not what they're going to do.
What's the fun in seeing how it plays out, though?
Well, for you Patriot fans, it's just sit back with your feet up.
Just in general, like...
Fair enough,
are we supposed to sit there during the draft and just... Here, Daniel Jones.
No, you can say anything you want. You can say anything you want. I'm with you on that. But it has been different this year with this. This isn't just, there's, it's like, it's blatant.
Because you guys have been comically bad, as you were saying, dumpster fire for years on end.
But can't you, it has been a dumpster fire, but you've got to give this guy a chance to build his organization and build his team. You got to give him an opportunity to stand up and say, okay, like, I don't care if anyone likes it or not, but the stain and the freak out of Giants Nation and the media is insane to me. I don't get it. And at the end of the day, it's football. You know, we're talking about football, and he's bringing in the guys that he thinks he can do it with. And if this kid's supposed to be brilliant and a great offensive mind, and there's something to be said about that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't the greatest athlete, but he was one of the he's a football savant on the field.
Yeah.
So if this kid turns out to be a plus quarterback that's incredibly smart, takes care of the ball, they have an offensive line that can protect him. You've got an elite running back in Saquon Barkley. You've got capable receivers and pro receivers, and we got to find a good tight end. You build a solid defense in the back. You've got an opportunity to be successful. And at the end of the day, you got to let it see what happens. I'll stand with you all 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if it's still the same. But we freak out and we don't even know what's going to happen. Give him a chance to build this team the way he wants to build it before we say it's the wrong thing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we do it all the time. Mike Francesa in New York, I love it. Virginia can't win a national championship this way. What happens? Tiger Woods is never going to win another major. What happens?
These
people get paid thousands and thousands, if not millions of dollars. Stephen A. Smith gets to sit there and say whatever he wants to say all the time, and they're always wrong.
Francesa is on an incredible cold streak, and it's really just him. Like, he's cherry picking the worst possible takes.
And what's happening is he's like new to Twitter.
He's completely lost.
It's terrible. And I used to love listening to him. I go after him all the time on Twitter. I'm new to this Twitter thing too. Maybe that's why I'm so like sensitive to it. I'm kind of new to Twitter as well. You know, so I'm kind of new. So I'm reading these things and I'm like, God, what is going on? It's insane.
In addressing like the draft and grading the draft, you most guys, like when you're doing it's about strategy.
Right.
And like you're trying to not overreach for value in this, that, and the other thing. If you're looking for a guy that can manage a game, take care of the ball, make smart decisions, you can find that outside of the top 10.
There's no question. But if if this is your guy and this is the guy that you want, you know, this is who you get. I mean, I trust Dave Gettleman. I trust what he's doing. I trust the way he runs the organization. I trust the personnel piece, and I'm going to let it happen. And everybody else out there, like you and like Alex and like all the everybody else that thinks it's a horrible pick and they've made a huge mistake, go ahead and sit back and say it. But I'm telling you right now, at the end of the day, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when the Giants are the perennial champs in the NFC East and pushing for Super Bowls, I'm just going to sit back with my feet up and say, I told you so.
As I told Alex, let's just get to 500. And then...
Fair enough, but yeah. I'm saying it, but you have to get there, and I think he's doing... I'm really intrigued with this Giants football team. I told you a couple weeks ago, I'm all in with Eli Manning now. That's what he wants to do, because I love what he's doing. It's not like you're putting Eli Manning in and you're just trying to put Band-Aids everywhere else, yeah. And you're trying to take care of Odell Beckham Jr. Right now, they are building a team, and when the Giants are winning Super Bowls, it's not about superstars. It's about finding the right team, and you find the right personnel. You do it from the defensive end first. You'll be able to run the ball. That's what made the Giants so great. And that's what they're starting to do again. I'm excited to see what he ends up doing, and I'm proud. I'm glad he's the Giants GM.
Building that defense has always been big for that team.
Sure.
My only concern, of course, is that his reputation in Carolina was also that he built that team up, and then because of his principles and his some of his philosophies, he then tore that team down.
Well, but tore that team down, and where they go, Carolina's been a good football team for a long time.
Well, they were good when Cam Newton went to that one Super Bowl and the Cup the few years before that. Then they progressively reached average and then mediocre. And it's not all for him.
Right.
Not all on him. But he did tear down a lot of that team, and he started to miss some picks. And so I think people are expecting something from Gettleman that you're not, which is they're expecting him to not come through.
Well, I look, and I at the end of the day, for me, and I just don't know. I got to disagree with you a little bit. I think when you look at guys like Josh Norman and you look at guys like, you know, like Steve Smith, I mean, both polarizing personalities, maybe they didn't fit his mentality on what needs to win. And they didn't win. Carolina didn't win a Super Bowl. They went to one Super Bowl. Maybe that had something to do with it. You know, maybe he's trying to build the right thing to help. He's won a Super Bowl with the Giants. He knows what that's like.
He replaced them and they still didn't win. So I think they need to see him do it again.
But he's done it. Like, let him do it. He built it in Carolina. He did it with the Giants. Let him do it. Let's see what happens. Let it play out.
I am waiting. I'm just telling you what I think people think of him.
Okay. Well, thank you for telling me.
Matt on line one would like to weigh in.
All right, go ahead, Matt. What's happening?
Good morning, Mr. Paul.
Good morning, Matt.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Getting a little heated in there. You might have to turn on the AC. But listen, you and I were going back and forth via text message when this whole draft started, and I kind of sent you the Daniel Jones question mark. It's not so much the pick that I didn't have faith in. It's more along the lines of his post-game or post-draft news conference that Gettleman had. It almost sounded as though he was second-guessing his pick. When you hear words like might or could be, you know, this is a 20, 21-year-old kid who's coming into an extremely major market. All of the pressure is squarely on his shoulders now, whether it be next year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. If they really wanted a quarterback to develop under Eli Manning, last year was the year to do it. There's no way they should have taken Saquon Barkley last year. They should have taken a quarterback last year, but now they bring this kid in who projected, fourth, fifth, sixth on the board, and now with his post-game, post-draft conference, that to me, that was my concern when I started hearing that stuff, with, you know, this could turn into this situation. It might do this. It sounded to me like he was second guessing the pick.
Well, I you know, listen, and I appreciate the call, Matt, and thanks. And your perspective's fine, but I just think words are words. And I think that the trust should be that we drafted you with the number six pick, and let's see where we go. There is no guarantee. What do you want him to say? You know, and we do have to take a break because we're way over, and we've got a Patriots beat writer coming on next, so we'll get into this again. But good call from Matt. But at the end of the day, I mean, when have we become like, you know, oh, he said this, he said might, he said maybe, you know, he should have done, you know, he should have, like, look, he drafted him six. He believes this is going to be the next quarterback, but this is going to be the next great quarterback for the New York Giants.
If you draft him sixth, have your story straight. Have it buttoned up. Don't be waffling. Like, if you're expected to project confidence in people like yourself and other Giants fans and people looking at the Giants, you didn't do it by saying might and could be and maybe. That's what, like, I get what you're saying about semantics and words, but, like, words have value. As someone who uses them for his stock and trade, that's...
You don't think
if you were going to pick him the whole time, why any hesitation?
You don't think that that's a way to say to him, like, we're going to see, like, we drafted him, we believe in him, we're going to see. I didn't see the interview, so I didn't see the press conference, so I can't say anything.
Yeah.
But again, I look at this as he's an old Boston guy. He's not like the most articulate guy, you know. So maybe his words were wrong and maybe didn't sound right. But the reality is the reality, and I'm more than willing to give him a chance to build this organization the way they have to build it, to get this organization back to where they expect it to be. And until it's shown that he can't do that with his guys, I'm on board with him. And what he's done so far, I'm all in with. Thanks for the call, Matt. Take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Patriots with Tom King. Don't go anywhere.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, it's been a spirited first half hour, 45 minutes of this show.
Welcome to the weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. It's pouring outside here. It's 40 degrees. I got friends of mine. Maybe that's half my problem. I got friends of mine that are in Florida texting me pictures of mid-70s and sun. They're playing on the beach and wearing tank tops and swimming, and I'm up here freezing. Ugh, Vermont in the spring. Spring is so overrated, first of all. It's so overrated.
Yeah.
It is. I'm with you.
You know?
June is nice.
Oh, June is great. Hopefully. I knock on wood.
My birthday month.
Oh, your birthday. Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Is this the part of the show when we talk about the good draft?
Yeah, here we go. The good guys. Joining us now, our good friend on the TikTok through his guest line, is Patriot Insider Tom King. Good morning, my friend.
What are you talking about? I'm sitting up on a pool right now. Come I can on, imagine. You know?
Well, because at your house, it's always beautiful, right? I mean, in your world, it's always mid-80s and, you know, just perfect for you.
I'll tell you a secret. All right, a little sports writer secret. On the third day of the draft, I always root for bad weather. All right? Because I'm stuck inside in that room for about 5-6 hours, depending on how long I want to be there. And it's usually always bright, sunny, and the best Saturday of the spring. But today, today I think it'll be half and half.
Yeah, probably for you. Well, I got to say this. What a great, Nashville has been the perfect place. It does not look that, you want to be there for this event. It looks so much fun down there right now, huh?
It's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy just to see that crowd of people that extends for, what, a mile? It seems like
it looks like there's. It's crazy. It is. It's like millions. And Allison, have you seen it?
I have.
The pictures are spectacular.
It's worse than. No, I've never been there in person, but I've seen it on TV. It's worse than Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
During the night before a Super Bowl or during Mardi Gras. I mean, it's just not in terms of the behavior, but just in terms of the sea of humanity.
It's
unbelievable. It's a great spot for it. I wonder how it'll be received in Vegas next year.
Oh yeah,
You know, because so much goes on in Vegas, but it'll be. I mean, the NFL is, you know, look, they'll market anything these days, and they're They're obviously taking this draft and turning it into a huge, huge event.
The NFL draft in Vegas is going to be insane. I mean, that is going to be a show. When the Raiders get there, too, just imagine what the show's going to be like when the Raiders are in Las Vegas.
True.
That's going to be insane.
Definitely.
All right.
It wasn't much of a show Thursday night when we were sitting there for 3.5 hours waiting for a pick. I'm telling you right now, I wrote about that in today's paper. I said, we're waiting there. You have an idea of what some of these players go through because they're, the ones that aren't in the green room, the 23 or whatever, it's bad enough if they're not like that receiver, has to slide down and not get picked and not get picked and not get picked. And he's sitting there all, dressed up in a fancy room on a stage waiting for him to show up on. But these other picks that are probably in the for 20 on down, that are having these, relatives and friends over and everything else, and then, nothing happens. They're waiting for their cell phone to ring, and we talked to Harry the other night. He said, I was all set to, I was ready for day two, and he was all set, 3.5 hours, everybody over there, and, I guess we'll wait for Fry, and then a call comes.
What is your take on the Patriots' work so far in this draft?
I think it's pretty solid. I mean, they love size at certain positions. They love size at receiver. They love size at corner if they can get one, and they did. And it turns out that the cornerback they picked, from Vanderbilt last night was, very close to being their pick on Thursday night. So, they got size at those two positions. They got a crazy guy from Michigan who's probably going to – can you picture this guy, the edge rusher from Michigan?
Oh, I'm a Michigan fan. I was actually watching the pick. I'm like, they're going to take Winovich. They're going to take Winovich. And then, boom.
You must have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is going to be a fan favorite down there if, he can stay on the field and be productive and be active on Sundays, which you never know with these guys. But he's certainly – is somebody that you look at and you go, wow, you can see him with the hair flowing, from underneath the helmet and jumping up and down and celebrating a sack and everything else. And the fans at Gillette going nuts. You can picture him becoming a fan favorite very easily. I thought Casario had a great line, he's got the long hair until we tell him to cut it. So that was a great line by Casario last night. So we'll see how it goes when he shows up, but he's definitely going to be a media darling. There's no doubt about it. But I love the other line he had when he was asked about how many interactions he had with the Patriots, and he said, oh, "I've got to check. I've got to check with them before I answer that. see what my instructions are." He literally said that. So he's drank the Kool-Aid. He's all set to become a Patriot. There's no doubt about it.
In the first round pick there, in Keel Harry. The Patriots have sort of a so-so history when it comes to picking wideouts in the draft. The Dobson thing didn't pan out. A number of others. What makes you think this one might stick?
Well, I mean, A, it's the highest they've ever picked one. So, he's got to be somebody that they value, they think has great value and talent. So his talent is got to be there if he's a first-round pick. So the other thing is his size. He's going to be difficult to give up on because of that size. So if he's the type of player that can stay healthy because he says he wants to go up and battle for every ball, well, that's easy to do in college. You get in the pros, you try to fight for a ball, they'll hit you pretty hard. So we're going to see how healthy he can be. I don't think he's a deep threat, but I think he's a intermediate receiver who isn't afraid to catch the ball in a crowd and maybe even over the middle. We'll have to see. You just can't project with some of these guys. I mean, look, there's been a lot of criticisms of their draft, and rightfully so. I mean, I think 2 years ago they took the draft off. They only took two or three or four players. And two of them made the team and one of them and none of them played. So now, 2 years later, they had a good draft, I thought, last year. They just couldn't stay on the field. it is such a change. And Casario talked about this the other night on Thursday. Well, you guys were all asleep. he talked about how the biggest adjustment they have to make is they have to fit into a program of working out and a workout regimen and practice regimen and everything else. Now, you say, well, they're college football players. They must have done it all their time down there. Well, they're college football players who haven't done a whole lot since January. So they all of a sudden now have to get into a routine that is a little bit more regimented than what they went through in college. And he said how they adjust to that is huge. And physically, that can be an issue with some of these guys. Look at all the hurt. Look at all the picks that got hurt last year. You know, they're just not ready for what life is like in the NFL. And you wonder what it would have been like around the league if the previous rule, if all those restrictions were taken off and they used to, the days of double session when they had, they'd practice in the morning and they'd practice in the afternoon. You know, a lot of these guys couldn't make it through that. And now they're even more relaxed and they still can't get through it. So I think the biggest thing with any of these players is health. That's number one, is health. They have to be able to stay on the field for them to make, obviously for the Patriots to evaluate them and for them to make some kind of impact.
Do you think, I think we're getting towards the end of the segment here, but not taking a tight end yet, is that maybe the misstep that they had so far in the draft?
Well, do they see a tight end that they like? That's the question. They may not be a misstep in their eyes.
Yeah.
I think the one thing about the draft that everybody, says, oh, you don't have this position, you gotta draft one. Well, they may not play right away.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So I if they see one they like, they'll grab one, but now we're getting into they have three in the fourth and four in the seventh. Which that won't stay that way today. They'll be wheeling and dealing again and try to probably get a fifth rounder, get rid of a seventh rounder, and get a pick for next year, all that stuff. But, look, if the tight end is there that they like, then they'll grab him. They haven't picked a tight end because the player that they wanted, may have not been there. They went up and they traded up. When you trade up to get somebody, you really want that player. And they just don't see anybody out there that they really want at that position yet.
Tom, we got 15 seconds. Josh Rosen to Miami. What's that do for the AFC East?
Just a lot of young quarterbacks that are pretty good, except this old guy that's in Foxborough. We'll see how it works out.
Tom,
but I love Daniel Jones.
Thank you.
Daniel Jones for president. I'm telling you that right now.
This is why I love Tom King. Tom, you're the best. We got to go. Patriot Insider Tom King. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, guys.
All right, the great Tom King. See, he's with me. He's a Giant fan, though. That's why we love Tom King. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's Out in Left Field time. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Well, you know what this song means. What do you got today, Aaron?
A boozy feral pig steals beer, gets drunk, and starts fight with a cow.
That sounds like my in-laws.
Wow.
That's what happens up at the compound up in Bangor.
You're going to end up in trouble.
The start of this. And of course it's Australia.
Well, why wouldn't it be? Go ahead, kiddo. What do we got?
A booze-pilfering drunken feral pig has caused chaos by running amok at an Australian campsite and starting a fight with a cow. The belligerent porker went on a drunken bender after stealing and drinking 3 6-packs of beer. Whew.
Yikes.
That had been left out by campers at the De Grey River campsite in Port Hedland, Australia.
Been there, done that, eh, Dookie?
In the predictable series of events that followed, the animal went on to ransack rubbish bin bags to find some late-night snacks before starting a fight with an innocent eyewitness cow.
Poor cow.
Following the boorish rampage, the pig decided to swim out.
I see what they did there with boorish rampage.
Decided to swim out.
That's when words matter, right there.
Into the middle of a river before collapsing drunk under a tree and falling asleep. Hey, guys, I was going through something,
Oh, boy.
One camper named Merida recounted the tale to the ABC network. It was in the middle of the night, and it was these people camping opposite us, and they heard this crunching of the can, and they got their torch out and shone it on the pig, and there he was scrunching away at their cans. Scrunching is a great word. Then he went on and raided their rubbish that they had sort of covered over with a bin as well.
Well, you get hungry. You got something to eat.
And then there was some other people camping right on the river, and they saw him running around their vehicle being chased by a cow. It was going around and around, and then it went into the river and swam across to the middle of the river. The people that were camped on the river where it went across and crept up on it, and it was hiding and sleeping under a big log right on the edge of the water. It was sort of coming from there for a couple of days, but we didn't see it this morning or last night.
Well, listen, you know, good camping lesson for you. You know, you get to keep your beer high on a tree along with your food.
I just want to go back to that lead. Like, that first sentence has so many fantastic. A booze-pilfering, drunken, feral pig has caused chaos by running amok. And it's like Mad Libs and starting a fight with a cat. Like,
We live in a great world, man.
I love how the last quote specified that he had like a full day hangover. It was like,
yeah. Well, that's, you drink six cases of beer and that's going to happen to you.
Coming Straya. From there for a couple of days.
That's right. That's Australia, baby.
That's Straya.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
This is a knife.
Sports update time, kiddo.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Vermont Engine Service Incorporated has been in business since 1985, located at 16 Krupp Drive in Williston, 802-863-2326. You can follow them on Facebook. You can go to see them at www.vermontengine.com. Hours of operation are 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays 8 to noon. They're an engine machine shop that specializes in engine rebuilding, boring and honing of cylinders, crankshaft grinding, head rebuilding, engine balancing, turn brake drums and rotors, flywheel resurfacing. They do mowers. They sell mowers. They have incredible deals on holdover for Dixie choppers. And let me just say this. I say it all the time. People will tell you this is the time of year that you don't want to buy a boat. You don't want to buy a lawnmower because this is what people want to buy. Well, you're looking for a great deal on a lawnmower right now? Go see our good buddies over at Vermont Engine Service. See Dean over at Vermont Engine Service right now. They also sell Dixie choppers and Grasshopper zero-turn mowers. They do DR Power Equipment Service Dealer. They do Briggs & Stratton, Kawasaki, Kohler, and MTD Service Dealers. They work on all brands of mowers, gas-powered pressure washers, and rototillers. Check out my buddy Dean at Vermont Engine Service. And we're so proud to have them the sponsor of this hour of our show. Yeah, I got to tell you, if you're a Patriot fan, by the way, 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation, 802-655-6672. Our poll question today, the Green City Garage poll question today, did the Giants make a mistake drafting Daniel Jones with the sixth pick in the draft? What do you got so far?
I worded it, do you like the Daniel Jones pick at six? Okay.
Semantics, well, you know.
It would have switched. It switches it around, so sure. I didn't want to confuse anybody. 25% said that they liked the pick, 75% said they did not.
Okay, well, 75% are wrong. I think it's me and my wife are the 25% that voted. But anyway, I do have to say, as a Patriot fan, Austin and Aaron, but before I do, let me say this. My good buddy's in the studio right now hanging out with my buddy Mike Duke Dragon, my hockey go-to guy in the studio today, Duke. But he's a big Penguins fan. Normally, if you see the Duke man this time of year, he's got a beard down to his, like, you know, waistline because it's playoff beard. But now the Pens are out, playoff beard's gone. I haven't seen him this clean shaven in, like, you know, 15 years. Crazy. Anyway, being a Pats fan, let me just ask you this. Yeah. Is the draft boring?
Yes.
I mean, the draft means nothing if you're a Patriot fan. Maybe it means nothing. And well, good for the Patriots for that.
I'll give you an example because there's two reasons why it's boring, I'd say. One of them is that we trust Bill enough that we're not really worried about who we're picking. The second one is that he does not go for the big names. So, for example, at receiver, we got N'Keal Harry. He's a great prospect, really pro-ready. But don't you kind of, as a Pats fan, Austin, want to see DK Metcalf in a Pats jersey just to see him stretch the thing?
Nah.
Is it just me?
I don't want my wide receiver to have the same agility or worse agility than my quarterback, which Metcalf did.
Well, but he's so big, he can just run in a straight line.
That, like that, so I think the line was, that's a pretty cool trick, but like, it's just one trick.
I know, but you do get what I mean, though, right?
I do.
We don't go for the big names in the draft, and that's part of what makes it boring, I think, is that we get the sleeper guy, and if he works out, then he works out. He's going to probably be productive, and that's cool. That's great, but it does make the draft boring.
Well, I mean, I think if you're the Patriots, it's tough having the last pick every year. I mean, what are you going to do?
So that's the other thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a last pick. I get it. I mean, success is a lot better than, you know, than stinking. And that the draft is about teams that stink.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, the other part of why it's boring, you wait around for, like, late picks, and then you got to grind day two and day three. But half the time, like, how many years, Aaron, have we gotten to, like, the tail end of the first round, and then, like, you're just waiting to see who the Patriots take at 30 or 32, and then, poof, they trade
it. They trade it away all the time.
Awesome. Like, and then yesterday, I was waiting for the 73rd pick. Oh, nope. Bill got rid of that when we got to wait to 77 now. Like, come on. Like, it's just, like, yeah. I knew it happens every year, at least one pick. You're like, you're okay, oh, they're coming up. Cool. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to it, I mean, but I think it just speaks volumes to that organization. I mean, what they've done, and even listening to Tom King talk about, you know, they don't really think too much of the draft. A couple of the guys that they drafted a couple years, they took it off. A couple of guys didn't even make the team. But that's what Bill Belichick is. He's an absolute savant. And I'm, what can you say? I mean, he just knows what he's doing. I mean, he just gets it done. He's the standard bearer for the NFL.
At its face value, sports value is boring. I think that's part of why it can be boring to be a Pats fan in the offseason sometimes, because value contracts are boring.
Well, but let's be honest. It's not that boring because, you know, you do bring in, I mean, they brought some names in, you know, from free agency. You remember, you know, Randy Moss, they brought in Chris Johnson, they brought in Darrell Revis, they brought in, you can go down the list of names that they brought in that, you know, there were guys that were kind of me guys that turned into we guys when they got to New England. So
it's not as common as some of the other big
totally agree.
Teams.
And again, I think that's what makes him so special. I think that's why, and it kind of goes back, and I'm not going to compare Dave Gettleman to Belichick, but at the same time, it's these guys that know the game of football. They've been around it a lot. They know what they're looking for. You trust that.
And when you're talking about value picks and what the Patriots do well, I was reading a story yesterday. Basically, in the last 4 years, what the Patriots have done with their compensatory picks, which are the picks you get for giving up a large-scale free agent, like one of the picks yesterday was for giving up Malcolm Butler, who was a tail end, like,
well, Super Bowl MVP, yeah, right. Like, Super Bowl, not MVP, but he was a hero.
They turned that, like, you know, that prospect into a star and got a better pick out of it. And in the last 4 years, like, the rated value of their compensatory picks and what they've gotten out of them amounted to a third overall pick, which.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, they know what they're doing, man.
It's a very
well-run business. It's a well-oiled machine, and I think it's going to be well-run for a long time. I really do. I mean, I think. I don't know what will happen if Belichick leaves. Maybe that will change things. But as long as Bill Belichick's running the show there, whether Tom Brady's there or not, that organization's in great shape. They're in tremendous shape. I mean, and until something changes, I do like Josh Rosen coming into it, though. I think Josh Rosen's going to be a good quarterback. I like the fact there might be an established quarterback on another team in the AFC East because there just isn't one. Maybe, I mean, I guess Darnold at the Jets, and the Jets seem to be the big talk. But you know what, the Jets, come on. I mean, can you show me?
They're all talk.
See, that's what gets me. Like, we don't give the Giants the benefit of the doubt with what they're doing, but we give the Jets the benefit of the doubt with what they're doing. I mean, you talk about an organization that is a perennial loser, is the New York Jets, and we're giving them, you know, oh, look, can't wait to see what the Jets do. I just can't wait to see what the Jets do. They need to prove it to me before I'm going to jump on the big green bandwagon.
It's because they're less proud than you guys.
I don't get it.
They're
the steps, the ugly stepchild.
Yeah, so like you just sort of, you don't pay attention to them as much, or you, like it's not the same as like world champion, you know, two-time world champion in the last 15 years, New York Giants, like that still think in their head that we should be one of the biggest deals in sports, but we're not.
The Miami Dolphins.
Wait, well, hold on a minute. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean?
The proud, you know, big blue, proud
well,
tradition.
Well, they are. Like, the Giants are one of the original organizations. They've won four championships. I mean, they're a great organization.
See, why Giants fans, you say something about
you're mocking.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
stand up for the Giants if you're going to mock them.
But that's why you guys get a harder time than the Jets.
Okay. Whatever.
It's like Yankees and Mets fans, I'd say. If the Yankees if the Yankees had a really bad stretch, they'd get a harder time than the Mets have for having a bad stretch.
Oh, sure. I get all that. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is I listen to the pundits and all these geniuses that tell us who's won these drafts and who hasn't won these drafts. And I hear every year, oh, the Jets are taking over New York. This is the Jets. And then what happens? The Jets miss the playoffs. The Patriots win the AFC. Whatever. I mean, show me first. Like, show me that Sam Darnold is going to be some superstar quarterback in New York. Like, Matt called early and said the Giants made a huge mistake. They should have drafted, should have gotten a quarterback. They got the best running back in the world. They got the best player in that draft. Are you out of your mind?
Speaking of the pundits and experts, did you hear what Nate Burleson said about N'Keal Harry?
No.
He said he's a great steal at number 32 for us. Really excited about that.
Oh, love that.
I trust Nate Burleson,
feels
man.
Good. Feels
oh,
good.
Yeah. You guys are morons.
You want to talk about something else, Jeff?
655-6672 if you want to join our conversation. Let's move to the NBA playoffs because, look, the Celtics, nice win against Indianapolis. Why do I keep saying Indianapolis? Against Indiana. A nice sweep there. I think Celtics fans feel good. But I got to say now, you're taking on the number one Bucks. The Greek Freak is coming to town. I mean, the Celtics, this is where the metal's going to hit the road for me with the Celtics. We're going to find out exactly who the Boston Celtics are in this series.
Yeah, and last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, I think we were sitting here talking about the Celtics, and like they might have had a chance to get got by the Pacers, or they could have showed themselves to be, you know, definitely in the top half of their, you know, like worthy of the semifinals.
Right.
And they did that. They did that quite convincingly, too.
Yep.
So I think, you know, if there's any momentum to be taken there, they definitely have it.
They have it, but Indiana was a depleted team. They were a team without their star. It was a team they should have beaten.
Yeah.
And there was no adversity that Celtics faced. I want to see what happens to our boy Kyrie Irving when they are faced with adversity against this Bucks team, if it happens. That's what I want to see, because that, to me, is what's going to define them. It's a lot like, and I say this every year, that you when you take the LeBron James guide to leading a team, it's great when it's great, but when it's bumpy in the road, that's when you're defined. And that's where the Celtics, to me, this year, when things haven't been well for them and they haven't won games, and that's when the bickering starts, that's when we start questioning the coach, we start questioning other players, and that's where it's kind of fallen apart for them. When they're winning, it's great. I mean, my quote is always, I tell my soccer team this, it's always easy when it's easy. What I mean by that, but you're always defined when it's hard. I mean, you know, when you're winning games and things are going great, it's fun. It's easy. This is easy. Let's go play and we're just going to win.
Yeah.
But when you're faced with some adversity, that's when you're defined. And that's what the Celtics to me this year. Last year, they answered every question I had with adversity.
Oh,
they
had
it from day one.
Yeah.
They were just, I'm not a Boston sports fan, but even I was rooting for the Celtics last year. This year's team, until they show me that they can face adversity and overcome it together, I'm not sold on them.
I totally agree there, but I think being the sort of team that they've been in the regular season, you know, bickering and fighting, not, you know, maximizing their potential, that's the sort of team that would have taken five or maybe six games to beat the Pacers.
That's true.
With their act somewhat together,
it's a
pretty businesslike sweep.
And I would say that there's more pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks today than there is the Celtics. Because
all the pressure's on the Bucks.
Exactly, because to me, the Bucks are the ones that have to prove them. The Bucks are the ones that say, we have to be able to get by the Celtics to be looked at as, okay, we're a championship contender. The Celtics are the team that I think that everyone looked at, and the Bucks have to be able to get over that hump to be able to be the champion that I think that everybody expects them to be, or at least be recognized as a potential champion. So I think the Celtics can be playing with some house money, I think you can even believe it. The team that was supposed to be the one that competes for the coming out of the East for the NBA championship.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like, they can kind of play with, we're kind of the underdogs here, which is good for them.
Well, the Bucks are the obvious Goliath of the NBA's Eastern Conference. I think that's obvious. But what you have to remember with these David and Goliath narratives is that Goliath gets named Goliath for a reason. I mean, this team is built brilliantly. Not only do they have Giannis, who I think is the best player in the NBA, they have all these other spots where they have built the roster perfectly around their superstar. They went to a stretch five in Brook Lopez to give space. They've got all these shooters. They've got good facilitators. They play good defense. I don't see this team being stopped in their tracks at all by the Celtics. If the Celtics win this series, great. I'm going to be super happy, but I sort of expect a sweep.
And so if the Celtics win or win or push it to six or seven, who do you think is going to come out with the most credit from the Celtics? Brad Stevens, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, player to be named later.
No, I mean, I think I'll have to see how it plays out. I think Kyrie Irving's going to expect it, is going to want it. I mean, I'm going to think that's Kyrie Irving's thing. It's going to be it's a Kyrie Irving show.
How great would it be if this series is won by the Celtics and the guy who decides it is Jason Tatum just coming out and having like the craziest?
It could happen.
That'd be fun as hell. Yeah.
Roster wise, the Celtics have what it takes to win a world championship. The Celtics on paper have a great opportunity to win. I mean, but I'm going to be interested to see what happens now. If Milwaukee sweeps this basketball team, it is going to be a mess. And you brought up, you think it's going to be a sweep. I don't think it's going to be. So I think it's going to be a very competitive series. I think the Celtics are a playoff built team. I think you have teams like this that have a lot of these veterans. And whether I like the way Kyrie Irving leads or not, he's one of the elite players in the game. When you've got a guy like that, and you got guys like Hayward, and you got guys, young guys around them that can play, when they decide they're going to play together. And I thought you saw that in Game 3 against Indiana, mm-hmm. where Indiana came back in the game, and those Celtics made plays, they made shots. That showed you how elite they were. But if this gets out of control and it happens what Aaron says, where Milwaukee kind of runs and gets a 2-3 game lead, like 3-0, 2-0, I mean, you're gonna see who the Celtics are, because to me, I hope I'm wrong. I don't know if they've got the makeup to come back from that, because the mentality's so bad this year.
Yeah.
I used to think this was Brad Stevens' team. Now I don't think it's Brad Stevens' team anymore. And I feel bad for that, because he's probably the best coach in the league.
I think the Celtics' ace in the hole is that their coach is one of the three best coaches in the league.
I agree, but do you think a guy like Kyrie is going to allow that to be what the difference? Like, I don't think Kyrie's mentality is such. I think when you get to a level like Kyrie Irving, it's too bad, because you see Giannis in Milwaukee. He's all in. I mean, you can tell he's a coachable guy. You can tell that Kyrie is not coachable. Neither is LeBron. I mean, that's the mentality. That's where I go back to, like, LeBron's way. And Kyrie's way is not good for organizations, especially ones that are trying to win championships, if they don't win. When they're winning, it's great. But that's what I mean. I think Brad Stevens is the best coach in the NBA. I think he's proven that. But if you don't have your leader buying in, and I'm not sure if Kyrie's buying in, I don't know what you can do.
What I really love about the way Giannis has been with that team is that he's let management do their thing. He has gone out and played, and that's his primary focus, is to play well. And it took a couple of years for management to get it right, but it's worked. Now they've built the team around him that any superstar would want. They've built a team where all the pieces are built to maximize him, and he didn't have to do any of the diva stuff to get it. And now he just gets to play the playoffs and play his game.
And he's not a diva. I mean, that's the thing. No, he's not a diva. He's a hardworking kid that's a great player, elite, and he's a specimen is what he is. I mean, there's nobody like him in the league. But he's the kind of guy that's the kind of guy you can coach. You put Brad Stevens as a coach in Milwaukee, I mean, they would, if Brad Stevens was coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean this, they'd push the Bulls and Golden State for the best record ever.
Yeah.
Just because he's that kind of coach. He's a difference maker. The Celtics last year, with that coach running the show, they were difference makers. They were better than you because of the way they played. They played team basketball. They played college team basketball. Yeah. Now this team is, now it's run by the superstar. The best thing that happened for the Celtics at the end of this, no matter what happens, is for Kyrie to go to the Knicks. I'm just saying it right now. The best thing that could happen for the Boston Celtics is for Kyrie Irving to just go to the Knicks or go wherever he wants to go, just get out of Boston. The Celtics will be back if that happens. That's the way I feel. You agree with me, A-Dog?
I'd love to know how Knicks fans feel about that.
Oh, the Knicks. Trust me, Knicks fans just want to win, want to be 500, get to a
playoff.
They
want 35 wins.
Yeah, they'd be all in for Kyrie Irving to get there.
I agree with you, provided they get market value for him. As long as they get back what he's worth, then that transaction.
I got to tell you something right now. I would just let it go. I don't care. We've got nothing back. Like the Giants with Odell Beckham Jr. Let him go. And you got your young kids there that you can develop. You got the best coach in the league. Trust me, the Celtics would be just fine. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
You know, I have some advice for weathermen out there, Austin.
Yeah.
If it's going to snow on July, or not July, no, don't ever say it, on April 27th, don't say anything. Don't say it. I don't want to hear it. Especially if it's not going to be any accumulating, just don't even bring it up.
You want them to come on and be like, the weather is, you don't want to know.
No, I just come on and say, it's going to be some rain and it's kind of chilly out there.
You can't handle the truth?
No, I don't want that.
You can't handle
the truth. I don't want to hear that there's going to be snow at the end of April. I just don't want to hear it. It's depressing to me. Especially when all my friends are on, vacations in beautiful, warm, sunny places.
Imagine being in Lindenville all the time.
Crazy.
Crazy. I can't handle that.
Yeah, it's not good. Hey, so the NHL playoffs are rolling as well.
Yes, sir.
But I got to tell you, I mean, as a casual NHL fan like myself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of an ugly situation there right now. I mean, the only name organization you've got are the Bruins left. You know? I mean, you talk about NBC. You don't think NBC is begging for the Bruins to be in the Stanley Cup championship? I mean, this is the NHL. This is it. But no more Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
No more Pittsburgh. No more Washington. I mean, it's not good.
They sort of luck out having one of the three New York area teams.
Yeah,
the Islanders. But it's there, the third team in the New York area.
Yeah, and the Islanders aren't exactly the, you know, I mean, exactly. They're like the Mets, you know, I guess.
They're like
the Jets.
Just sub-Mets.
Yeah, just under the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's unfortunate for the game. Now, I think it's great. Obviously, there's a lot of parity. I just don't get, and Duke, feel free. My good friend Mike Dragon is in here from Middlebury, my go-to guy for the NHL. But the way that they seed these teams and the way that they do this is crazy to me. I don't understand the seedings here. We talked about this. We tried to get into this a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But the way the NHL seeds their playoff, I mean,
we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It basically emphasizes the divisions and tries to make the divisions mean something, right?
Right.
So, like, if they were just more clear about that, like set up two separate brackets.
Yeah.
Like just make it more clear.
Yeah.
I'm that would be cool. But like, don't have it be 1 through 8, but actually one is going to play 2.
Yeah.
And then just don't do that.
It's crazy.
I mean, Mike, we're like, how many times have we seen the Penguins and the Capitals play each other and they're the two best records and it's the conference semifinals?
Yeah.
Like, it's just an absolute joke.
Yeah, well, at the end of the... And the other thing for me with this is, you know, it's got to be Boston's to win now, right? I mean, if Boston doesn't win this, Boston fans have to feel like, okay, this is ours to win. If they don't win the Stanley Cup, I think it's a disappointing season for the Bruins now.
Right.
I wouldn't have said that going in. I mean, they had a great year. There's a lot of good teams. But now, if the Bruins don't win...
You don't have to go through Tampa? I mean, like, who just murdered the rest of the, murdered the rest of the league all season.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets lit them on fire.
Yeah.
And now you get the 8th seed. Okay. You definitely take your roll of the dice with
but
them.
But really, the seeds even matter, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's so odd to me.
Seeds really don't matter.
They don't. Like, what's the point? Like, who cares? Why do you work your butt off all season to have the number? I mean, I guess you want to have home ice, but does home ice really matter in the NHL?
A little, but like, it doesn't matter if you're playing against the hottest goalie on the planet.
True.
Like as a Caps fan, I remember I think it was 2010 or 2011. Like, we got halocked.
Hey, and by the way, you're a Caps fan. What's up with your boy knocking out a 19-year-old kid? I mean, come on, man. What's going on with that? Old Ovechkin giving the old haymaker to the child. Can't even vote yet. Wait, Alex Ovechkin, was he 52 years old?
What's the phrase? If you don't want to mess with the train, get off the tracks. Like, I mean, come on.
Mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Rube Baker say that to in Major League 2? Rube Baker said that to the... Yeah.
Right, but like,
get off the tracks, AC.
Russian machine never breaks.
Listen.
So,
first of all, who picks a fight with Alex Ovechkin anyway?
A moron.
I don't even want to ask him a question. He's so scary looking. You know, who picks a fight with Alex Ovechkin? Anyone that just watched what he did after the Stanley Cup championship last year with what he did with that Stanley Cup, going around the country with it and what he did. I wouldn't mess with that. That is the last cat I'd be messing with.
Who even delivers a guy like that like bad news? Like, you don't want to be around for his frustrations of any kind, do you?
How much bad news does he have to deal with?
Yeah, really.
These probably not a lot. I'm guessing people just deal with it. Like, don't tell
especially
him.
Especially now. Like, him with, like, the satisfaction of a cup. He's made it. Like,
no, he has, and he's one of the best players, but I just think it's just an ironic story. Like, I saw the fight, and then the thing's like, well, he's a 19-year-old kid. I'm like, well, I mean, you got knocked out by Alex Ovechkin. You got that going for you. I mean, if you're 19 years old, yeah, you should get a little tattoo that said, you know, knocked out by Alex.
Right. He's my age. That's
there
wild.
You go. Yeah, there Weird. You go. A little taller than you, though, just a touch taller.
I was stayed up to watch stayed up to watch Game 7 with the Caps the other night.
Rough one.
And,
sorry.
Well, it was, but like at the same time, after last year, it just doesn't hurt like it used to.
I agree.
Like, you know exactly how hard it is to win a cup.
Yep.
You won a cup last year. Like, okay. It would have been fun to keep watching them, but like, hey, we did it.
The NHL must have seen what I said last year about how the Stanley Cup is not the biggest sports trophy, because I don't know how long they've done this. They have a Twitter page for the Stanley Cup. It's the Stanley Cup talking to people.
Oh.
And it is the best thing. The Stanley Cup, they put out a tweet saying that it's not goodbye forever for Alex Ovechkin. It's just goodbye for now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I don't know how you can argue that the Stanley Cup isn't the greatest trophy in professional sports. I mean, that is...
Because I felt like... Because the NFL is so much bigger than the NHL at this point.
Regardless of whether it's bigger
Lombardi
or not.
Lombardi Trophy is such a big deal.
I know, but that cup is like... It's iconic. It's one cup.
It has been spellings on it. I thought that's the coolest
thing. It's one cup. Just think about what that cup's... Where that cup has been. What that cup has seen. What the, I mean, it's that cup is the best. I'm not even a hockey guy, but that's somebody. It's funny. My father bumped into the guy that handles that in an elevator.
Yeah, with the gloves all
with
the time.
With the gloves, yeah. And that's his job is he just takes my, I can't remember the conversation.
He's the keeper of the cup.
Yeah. And my dad was talking to him about it. Like he was next to him in the cup. He had the cup was in the thing and he had the white gloves on. He's going down the elevator with the guy he was in Pittsburgh. It was right after the Penguins won a couple years ago. But yeah. But anyway, it's got to be tough. NHL is going to want the Bruins to be in this thing. And, we'll see how it plays out. But having all the top teams out doesn't look good for the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny, the night the Bruins beat the Leafs.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of friends that are diehard Bruins fans. I know plenty of Leafs fans. And I had to call Marcel Girard, the BHS baseball coach, to get info on his team. I'd forgotten that he was a Leafs fan until I called him, and his team had just lost, like, run ruled in five innings. And
that's a double whammy.
Thankfully, he has an incredible sense of humor, and I laughed my butt off the entire time. But like, what a tough night!
Yeah, it's tough. Well, the thing about it is I can compare to what you went through this year with your Caps. Like, yeah, we didn't win, but we won last year. That's how I feel with my Cavaliers. Like now I feel pressure's off. So whatever happens, like Kyle Guy just announced he's going to the NBA. Ty Jerome's going to the NBA. DeAndre Hunt's going to the NBA, and everyone's freaking out. Like, what's going on? I'm like, listen, who? Whatever. We house money now, baby.
Yeah.
Got a championship. I'm good. 655-6672 is the number to call. You want to join us today, 802-655-6672. You can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. Do you want to say Vermont Engine Service, a new sponsor? Green City Garage just said it's a text. They love Vermont Engine Service. They use them all the time, and they get great service. So this is cool, right? Two of our sponsors hand-in-hand working with each other. What get Green City Garage and Vermont Engine Service?
I believe they call that synergy.
It's That's what you and I have here, synergy. Hey, let's move it over a little bit to baseball. Okay, baseball season's been pretty crazy here so far. You look at the Red Sox; are they righting the ship a little bit? I mean, you look like the Red Sox.
They
win, they lose, they win, they lose. They lose the first two games of the doubleheader to Detroit the other day. Then they come back and win a couple games. They're hitting the ball a little bit better. They have a huge series with Tampa right now. I don't know if anything's too huge at the last week of April, but when you look at where the Red Sox are, Tampa and the Yankees, I think are virtually tied for first place right now. It is kind of a big series for the Red Sox to at least win the series. You don't want to go out of there getting swept.
Right, exactly. And like the fact that you're plucky little underdogs in pinstripes.
Yeah, I know, man. Those Yankees just little engines
have turned it on. I mean, looking at the standings right now, Tampa's 16-9. New York is 15-11. And then you go all the way down to just above the Orioles. Boston is 11-15.
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball. It is what it is. But I'll tell you, and you brought up the Yankees. I mean, and I'm not trying to like make a joke about this. What they're doing is absolutely insanely amazing. I mean, if you look at the guys that are on the DL right now, that would be the team that they would pick to win the World Series every year. And they're doing this with guys it's crazy. I mean, they're picking guys up off the scrap heap. They're bringing kids up that were in double and triple A, guys that you thought would never be on the roster. I mean, last night they had Gio Urshela hitting fourth in a lineup. I mean, they've had Brett Gardner hitting third. And then people laughed about the DJ LeMahieu signing that they had because of all
DJ
the depth.
LeMahieu,
who is, by the way, ripping the cover off the ball. But thank God they signed him with all the injuries. I mean, this team is banged up. And there's not like helps coming back soon. Aaron Judge is at least a month away, if not more. DJ Gregorius is months away. I don't know if you're ever going to see Greg Bird again, which is, and this is going to give fans opinions, all right. You know what I mean? Tulowitzki isn't anywhere near now. Andujar, who's got a slightly torn labrum. I don't know how this is going to work. So he's been in a couple extended spring training games, and last night I guess he was like 4-for-6 with a home run in it. They expect that he potentially could be back next week, which is interesting with a torn labrum, but we'll see how that works out. Aaron Hicks isn't anywhere near coming back. So they're beat up. Dellin Betances is gone. Severino is gone. I mean, the list just barely got, Gary Sanchez back. So this is a team. They're back. They're all gone. But they're running these guys out. Like, it's insane what's happening with them. And they keep winning.
How have the John Sterling home run calls been with these new guys?
I think
they're pretty exotic, right?
There's been a lot of articles. I haven't heard one. I've been watching them. And by the way, whenever my teams are on the West Coast, like the Yankees are on the West Coast, I'm up all night. Like, I was up at late night watching them play San Francisco. They went 14 innings with Anaheim the other on Tuesday night, going into Wednesday morning. I didn't sleep a wink all night. My wife left for a business trip at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I woke, the game ended at like 3 o'clock. I was a little bit pumped. I was like wired from the game just because I was watching it. I didn't fall asleep till almost 4. She got up at 4. The alarm went off. I helped her get out the door and leave. And then I couldn't fall back asleep. I went to work. I mean that's how nuts I am. That's the problem with these West Coast games.
Well,
I stand up watching.
You look great for someone getting no sleep.
Well, that was early in the week. I caught up.
Oh, okay, good.
Because the next night I tried to stay up to watch 10 o'clock game. I fell asleep at 9:30. Woke up at 1, and they had won. So I was in a good mood. I missed it all, but that's fine.
10
I made
o'clock
up.
Start. You would have been up till 6.
Huh?
I'm making fun of the pace of game.
Oh yeah.
Stop. It was a joke.
Come on.
A joke.
But anyway, but yeah, it's interesting in that the Red Sox right now. Listen, I don't know what to say. Chris Sale's got to be a worry. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what he's been doing has got to be. Now his velocity is back, which I think is a good thing. The Red Sox have put some money into him and some years into him now, so obviously his success is going to be important. The bullpen is, I guess, as ugly as it looks, and I just don't think it's a very good bullpen, has actually kept them afloat, I would say, because offensively they haven't been anywhere near the team that we expected them to be.
Yeah, and like you want to talk about great New England sports fan problems. Like,
I know, right?
Between the Capitals last year, not New England, but my team anyway, and then the Patriots, the other day, I was like, oh, yeah. And the Red Sox won, too.
Yeah. Well, think about if you're an all Boston fan right now.
You
legitimately have a chance to win the World Series. You won the Super Bowl. You got a chance to win the NBA championship. You got to win. And you should win the Stanley Cup. That's unbelievable.
The Stanley Cup, I think, is the best case scenario for, to get close to that, the championship sweep.
But regardless,
the Boston Slam, you could call
it. But regardless of that, the Celtics are still one of the best teams in the NBA on paper. It's not like you're looking at the little engine that could, a team that's just getting by. And this is a team that's expected to compete for a championship. So, it's a good, if you're a Boston fan, but you know what, for Boston fans, and I'm not one, for years, it was not fun to be a Boston fan.
Ooh.
I mean, the early 80s and early 90s with the Patriots, they were you talk about a laughing stock. I mean, those 80s Patriots, I mean, I would say probably, the years of
the Schaefer Stadium days.
Yeah. I mean, just, they were abysmal, and the Celtics went through their time where they were great, but they went through that lean year. The Red Sox, obviously, the curse of the Bambino, we know about all that. And obviously the Bruins were down for a while, but now it's good to be a Boston fan. I'm not one, unfortunately, but it's good to be one.
Yeah. It's quite liberating. It's quite liberating. We got anything going on in the text line?
Joe just said Yanks and Sox will be fine, but any advice for us suffering Orioles fans? Hey man, listen, I mean, the Orioles are I got to say though about the Orioles, first of all, Richie Martin's your shortstop. He used to play for the Lake Monsters.
Your boy.
He's a great guy, great kid. And they're a young team up and coming. You got to be patient with the Orioles.
And great color scheme. Great logo, great color scheme.
And a great park for hitters.
Yeah, and a very cool park to sit in.
It's one of the best places to watch a game in the world. I mean, Camden Yards is one of those beautiful ballparks.
All that exposed brick.
I love it. Oof. I love it there, man. I love it in Boog's Barbecue.
The Orioles, because of where they play at home, do you think it would be a smart move for them to just start working towards a heavily power lineup and just try and outshoot people at home?
No, I think you got to build from the bottom up. You got to build a bullpen. You got to build a starting rotation. But the Orioles are in a tough situation because they went through that time where they spent a lot of money. They're tied up to Chris Davis now.
Yeah.
They've just got to rebuild. But I'm going to tell you this right now, man. It doesn't take long to do it. You can be that. You remember the Houston Astros were a laughingstock for a year. You draft well. You're smart. You have good baseball
that
people
was
in there.
That was a 3-year turnaround for them.
Yeah. And now they're the perennial champion. Truth be told, when you look at that, roster, that youth and how talented they are, they should be good for a long time. But the Orioles can get there again. It's a great place to play. It's a good baseball town, too. All right. We got to have to take a break. When we come back, it's time for our Hot or Not. Don't go anywhere.
I wouldn't bother with those winter coats because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's time for Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
It is interesting. I have to say, the passion that we had in the first hour with the Giants talk, and the NFL brings to the table, it's like so much different right now than where baseball is in April. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's just so much passion, and I was so angry coming on the other day at the media. Guys like you over there, Austin, mocking my Giants and Dave Gettleman that I brought it out.
It's funny.
Football
Come on,
does
it's
that
funny.
To you. Football does that to you. It comes right at your face.
Patriot fans do that to me a lot too. Even though I do have those two championships in my back pocket for you Patriot fans all the time.
I showed respect.
I love that.
I showed
got
respect.
Six more where that came from, big guy. Okay.
I got four over here, and two of them were against you. So, what do you think about that, Austin? What's your record against the Giants in the Super Bowl? I'm just saying.
Painful.
0-2. Thank
Painful.
You very much.
What's your record over the last two seasons?
I don't care. We're going to change that. Dave Gettleman's changing that.
It's about right now, not before, remember?
Yeah. All right, hot or not time. Go ahead.
This is Hot or Not, brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes.
By the way, I bought some Superb Cupcakes yesterday.
Where are they? I don't see them.
Well, I gave this one of my employees' birthdays.
Oh.
Key lime pie.
Ooh.
Cupcake. Come on. Makes a key lime pie cupcake? I think it's called Dutch chocolate, where they had like a, I mean, unbelievable. Like these cupcakes are insane. Mm. They had a butterscotch bomb one. It was just a delicious butterscotch cupcakes. I mean, I'm telling you, it's not a good place to be if you're trying to get fit. You know, you're trying to stay fit because you can't stop eating them. They're just delicious.
Yeah.
They're just so perfect. These are the perfect cupcakes. Treat yourself.
You can find them in the Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston.
They have
the best cupcakes around, as we just said, and they do not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. No box mix there. Make your day superb. The Giants flopped hard in the first round.
Not. Get over yourself. That stupid question. Not.
Hot.
Not even close.
I'm hot on this.
Well, of course
I'm hot on this. The best pick they made was the third pick and they had in the right. It took them to get a good one.
I actually really like that defensive tackle.
So I'm not hot on that at all. I'm not hot on that at all. And you know what? In a couple years, they're going to prove it to you.
When you guys go 9-7 and sniff the playoffs.
Nope. 13-3, 12-4, something like that. I'm just telling you. Wait and see.
If you get flack for who they picked that defensive tackle to after that, just let them know.
Hey, man.
He's ranked right up there with the rest of the guys.
I don't care who gives me flack. You think I care who gives me flack? I'm going to give the flack back. It's ridiculous that the Giants have been browbeaten like this over this situation.
That's
just saying.
That's like your opinion, man.
Fair enough. It is my opinion. And it's the right opinion.
Everyone's entitled to their own wrong opinion.
The wealth of young quarterbacks in the AFC East will make the division race much harder for the Patriots this year.
Not.
Oh, you're talking about this year? No, not.
Not.
Not even close. It's the AFC East.
What? How do young quarterbacks traditionally fare against Mr. Bill Belichick?
Oh, not well. That's why it's a hot take.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, what I do like, though, is I think Darnold's there for the long haul. I think you look at that. That's their quarterback now for the long haul. And now Miami has Rosen, who I believe is going to be their quarterback for the long haul, which is the first time that we could say that there's been a quarterback situation. And Buffalo's got a question mark there. But actually, no, they don't need to take Josh Allen.
Yeah, he's tall.
You've got three young quarterbacks that have great upside in that division. I think for the future it bodes well.
And what I would say is Josh Rosen is the best of them. I think he came out of the draft the most polished. I think you have to give him a lot of slack for last year because that offensive coordinator lit that whole offense on fire. David Johnson went from one of the best running backs in the NFL to being a nobody. And if you can do that to David Johnson, you can do a lot of damage to a rookie quarterback. And I think once he has the opportunity, that dude's a steal for what they got for him. What they got him for in Miami.
Yeah, Arizona, what's Arizona thinking? If you know you're going to pick up Kyler Murray, why aren't you trading him earlier than this? Why aren't you doing... They dropped the ball on that. But I think for the future of the AFC, it's because the AFC has been such a joke for such a long time. I think it bodes well for at least some competitive balance going forward in the future.
I'm just looking at... everybody thinks Josh Rosen's actually pretty good. And
I know his numbers suck.
The Cardinals were bad, but his numbers were just like laughable.
Everyone's were on that offense, though. That offense was run like a Pop Warner team. That offensive coordinator should never get a chance to sniff a single another NFL job.
I think
ever.
A good Pop Warner quarterback could have completed 56% of his passes.
I think you got to give the kid some break. You know, I remember Eli Manning's first year in the league was really ugly. I think you got to give him a chance. And I think maybe for the first time now he's going to get one. So we'll see. But for Miami, I think it's a great get for Miami. You have to look at it. It's a great get for Miami. It's very low. You know, you didn't give up a whole lot to get him. And you need it. You need to have something. And I think he's a young quarterback that has great. I think he does have great upside.
Okay.
So we'll see how it plays out.
Okay.
My point is you've got Tom Brady with Bill Belichick. And then you've got three organizations that have been chasing them for 20 years that now seem to have three quarterbacks that you can see staying for a while.
Yeah.
I think that's
okay.
I mean, you do play in a Pop Warner league. So we get that. The Patriots. I mean, come on.
It's not our fault we beat up everybody.
No, I know.
Also,
and you do.
They actually have some of the best win percentage outside of their division.
Thank you.
I know. Here we
thank
go.
You.
Oh, no kidding. I get it. I get it.
In the Bill Belichick era,
I get
even
it.
When you take away the Patriots,
Wait, are the Patriots are good? Is that what you're trying to sell me? The Patriots are good?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew. No, no, no. Yeah, they're good.
No, well, I was trying to sell you that the statistics say that that conference, that division plays really well outside of their division all the time.
No, it's obvious.
Anyway.
There's a lot of playoff teams out of the AFC, so please spare me that. Come on.
A lot of champions out of the AFC, so I'll tell you that.
Yeah, one. Give me a break. The AFC East is a joke.
I'm just giving you stats.
It's a joke.
These are just stats.
It's a joke. It's a joke. The AFC East is a joke.
Stats are on my side.
Joke.
The Patriots should have drafted another young wide receiver with their second pick instead of a corner.
No.
Yeah, I mean, not. It's Bill Belichick. You're going to question Bill Belichick? Who's going to question Bill Belichick?
I hate drafting corners.
I like the look of this kid. I mean, they actually don't, like, the Patriots draft history with defensive backs isn't bad.
If Bill Belichick drafted Austin Danforth, I'd be fine with it. It's Bill Belichick.
I wouldn't, because I don't have the foot speed or the hips.
I'm just saying, my point being is that if Bill Belichick drafts them, just relax, Patriot family. What do you even care? Like, I mean, whoever, who are they going to, who cares who they play? They're going to win. That's what he does.
The rest of the league zigs and we're going to zag.
That's how it rolls.
Amidst this new scandal, Tyreek Hill is done in the NFL.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say hot. I'm not going to pretend I know. I read it yesterday, the article, or, you know, but there's a tape about, looks like he broke his son's arm. He's allegedly. I mean, I am always of that. You're not guilty until you're proven guilty. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty, even though in this country, we don't have a lot of that anymore, but it just looks really bad. And if he did do that, he doesn't deserve to be in the NFL. I mean, the audacity of somebody to put their hand on a child or a woman is ridiculous anyway. And if it's proven that he did it, he shouldn't play in the NFL. But he does deserve due process.
They do have proof, based because of the recording, that he did threaten his significant other while they were doing the investigation, telling her she should be afraid of him,
too. Yeah, I heard that part.
That's ugly.
Yep.
That's bad.
A bad
Yeah, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. No question about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm hot on that, too. Yeah.
The Warriors will not get past the Rockets in the second round.
I'm gonna say. Did you say they're not going to get by them?
They will not get by.
Yeah, I'm gonna say not. I'm gonna think they're gonna get by them until they lose. I mean, it's easy to sit here and say Houston's gonna beat them. Houston's a great team, but again, Golden State is built for the playoff. They're built to win championships, and this is their time of year.
Yeah,
and I can't, until they get knocked off, I'm not gonna say they're gonna lose. I mean, that they're loaded. If they play together and they play their game, no one's beating them. And I will say this. I mean, Harden's a great player, but let's face it. I mean, he has an off night. They're done. I mean, he's the guy.
If the refs start calling traveling, they're done.
No kidding, right?
The moment they call fair fouls and traveling, his game's over.
Right. So I'm not hot on that either.
Yeah.
I can dream, though. The Celtics are playing with house money in the second round.
Hot. Yeah. We went through this a couple segments ago.
Yeah.
I
know. You guys kind of.
It's weird, to say that, though, right? It's kind of weird to say that.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Celtics, if they lose in the second round of the NBA playoffs, that's looked at as disappointing.
Right.
I mean, that is not where you expected this organization, this team to be. But at the same time, with all the trouble they had this season and with the ridiculousness of the season, they're playing arguably the best team in the NBA in Milwaukee. So it's like, it's a good question, because I don't know if you're playing with house money if you're the Celtics. I just don't know if you are. It's like the Yankees last year playing against the Red Sox in the division series. Like,
yeah.
Were the Yankees playing with house money? No, they were a 100-win team. Just because they're playing the Red Sox, who was a 108-win team? Like, I don't know. It's tough. Because to me, I feel like Milwaukee's got all the pressure because they need to look like they can get past the bot. You know, those great... The Celtics are looked at as one of the great teams. Is Milwaukee going to be respected like that? They got to get by Boston.
So, yeah, this actually might be semantics. Like, the show brought to you by semantics.
The fact that I know what the word semantics means is something, I think.
No, come on.
Well, no, it's pretty true.
No, the question is, who's going to play like they have the most pressure on them?
Yep.
And that would be the Bucks.
No question.
So, in ipso facto, you know, the house money is with the Celtics.
What movie is that from?
Ipso facto?
Ipso facto, ding dong. Ding. What was that? What is that from?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Can you see it? I can see it. Oh, my God, what is that movie? I know what it is. It's Dodgeball.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ben Stiller and
You work for me.
Yeah,
yeah, she was.
Right.
She was a lawyer. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Next one. Do you want to add to that?
That's them. But
that was it. Okay.
I was gonna say that the league trend is that over. I think it's over like the last 25 years, the team with the best record has like a ridiculously high percentage of championship wins.
Yeah.
So the Bucks really are expected to win the championship based on league trends. And so if you, the Celtics, I think, are kind of going to get a free pass here.
Oh,
because
I don't know
of,
if you can give the Celtics a free pass.
I don't know if you can, but I think they're going to get one anyway.
I mean, how can
anyway.
You give, honest, Austin, how can you give them the free pass? I mean, the Celtics, this was a team that was supposed to be, this is a team that was built to beat Golden State.
They've played themselves into underselling themselves.
Which is sad. But see, crazy. That's, yeah, that's ugly. So that's what I mean. That's a tough question to answer because I think if the Celtics lose in the second round of the NBA playoffs, it's a colossal, colossal, colossal disappointment if you're a Celtic fan.
Yeah.
It's got to be. When you look at this team going into the season,
right,
it's colossal. So playing with house money, I don't. If they are, that they're the most underachieving superstar team I've ever seen.
That could be true. That could be very true.
Yeah, that would be that.
Here's unrelated to this. Hot or not, going to the NFL draft as a fan is a stupid idea.
Unless you're going outside in Tennessee. That looks like a lot of fun.
It's still, I'm watching that and I'm thinking,
oh no,
I'm like Judge Smales. Don't you people have homes? Like, it's like, let's stand around in a crowd with tens of thousands of people and wait.
I know, but if that looks like, I don't know, to me, the outside venue, that's I think it's called, what street is it in Tennessee? I'm actually going to be
Bourbon
there in a few
Street.
Weeks. It's not Bourbon Street.
No, it's yeah.
Broadway. It's called Broadway.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
okay.
Broadway. That looks like just insanely fun to me. I love the idea of hanging out with a bunch of NFL fans, just having a good time, all kinds of great places to visit and hang out. Nashville's supposed to be a great city. I'm actually going there in a couple weeks. I can't wait. But I wouldn't go to one that was indoors, like when it was a Radio City Music Hall. I wouldn't do that, but I would definitely go to one that was outdoors in a spectacle like that. It's like a festival. I would definitely do that.
You also run the risk of being one of the guys who ends up on the camera as a fan reacting to a pick that your reaction then ends up being wrong and they play your video forever.
I would
like
love
the
it.
Kid who cried over Porzingis.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. But like, even like going back to the well for the crowd reaction shots, once you get into like the third round and fourth round, none of the fans know who these people are. Like, let's clap now. Yeah.
There are some really good makeup jobs done there, man. There are some people that are just done up. There was a guy, the Eagles guy, that was like, he had to be costing like $1,000 to have his makeup done. He looks just like an Eagle.
You'll like this as a Giants fan. There was a Cowboys fan who showed up in a Cowboys cheerleader costume. He looked bad. Yeah. Real bad.
Not anyone wearing a Cowboys costume is going to look bad in my eyes anyway.
Yeah, they would.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Green City Garage poll question. What are the results? The question. Go ahead, read the question and give us
the
results.
The question is, did you like the Daniel Jones pick at number 6 overall or not? 76% said they did not.
Well, there you go. We'll see how it plays out.
Don't like that result.
Haters. 76% haters out there. Let it happen. Let's see what goes down.
Big Blue, earn your stripes. I'm a New York
fan. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Hey, what a show.
Yeah.
What a show. I want to thank Tom King, Patriots beat writer. Talk some Patriots football, obviously, and their draft. Or their, you know, if any Patriot fan even cares who they draft, they just see who's coming and they just see how it plays out.
And we care. It's fun to have new toys.
Yeah, of course. Hey, my buddy Duke here. Duke, how annoying to sit with a bunch of Patriot fans just mocking us all the time. Oh, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter who we draft. We're just, no big deal. You know. Yeah, we're actually more envious of that. Hey, we do have an announcement to make here, though, and I've been saving it, but we're going to do it right now before the show ends. As we all know, Bernie hasn't been here for a while. My great friend Bernie Siplicki has been my co-host here for 4 years. Changed jobs, left Colchester as one of the greatest ADs I've ever worked with, one of the kindest, most hardworking people I've worked with. Took on another challenge in his life. He's moved on. He wanted to do something else, and he's being very successful in that. Because of that, he's not able to do the show anymore, so he's no longer my co-host, which is sad, but we are now introducing my good friend here, the great Austin Danforth, as a new co-host for Sports Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, no. Happy to have you, man. It's been a lot of fun. So
it
I'm
is,
glad
it,
you're doing
it. It is fun. Yeah. Great way to start the weekend.
And I've always said, even when Bernie was here, when you'd come in, I've always thought it was, you know, it's a lot of fun.
No, it is. It's a good muscle to flex. It's good to, you know, just shoot the, you know what. Yeah,
talk to Scuggles Sports. So, so it's going to be me and Austin going forward here, and our good buddy, obviously, Aaron Wells over here, our top-notch producer. So Sports Saturday now has a new co-host and our good friend, Austin Danforth from the Free Press, which I think is going to be awesome because you bring a great dynamic locally with local sports and high school.